Good morning, church. Good morning. Does that sound better today? I was told by Kevin this morning that the microphone has not been so good, but this sounds really good to me. A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome especially to myself. I just returned from Cameroon. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. After our service, we will have teas and coffees at our church hall. Welcome to those who are worshiping via Zoom and also to those who will be listening to our church service afterwards from our website. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first team, praise to the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, we gather in your presence with hearts full of gratitude. As we stand towards the close of November, we thank you for all that it has brought, for its blessings and lessons, for its joys and challenges, and for your steadfast love that has carried us through. For those of us who have been away and have now returned to join the rest of this church family, we give you thanks. It is a gift to be together again in worship, united by your Spirit. We are grateful for the gift of life, the blessings of good health, and the provision of all we need to prosper and thrive. Lord, you are the good shepherd who holds us securely in your hand, the God who delights in steadfast love and compassion, and the Lamb who wipes away every tear from our eyes. We come before you with awe and thanksgiving, ready to hear your word and draw closer to you. Merciful God, as we reflect on your goodness, we are also mindful of our failings. Like the people in Micah's time, we have not always waited patiently for you or trusted fully in your promises. We have allowed doubts and distractions to lead us astray. We confess that like sheep, we often wander. We have not always followed the voice of the Good Shepherd who calls us to unity, compassion and faithfulness. Instead, we have clung to pride, selfishness and fear, creating divisions where you call for peace. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have been slow to love, quick to judge, or hesitant to extend grace. Cleanse our hearts and renew our spirits, that we may live as the people of your great multitude, a diverse and unified family bound together in worship of the Lamb. Help us to hold fast to the hope of your promises, trusting that you will wipe away every tear, restore all brokenness, and lead us to springs of living water. In the name of Jesus Christ, who keeps us safe in his hand and grants us eternal life, we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear the good news. Our God delights in steadfast love and casts all our sins into the depths of the sea. Jesus, our good shepherd, promises that no one can snatch us from his hand. And the Lamb of God leads us to springs of living water, wiping away every tear from our eyes. We worship God again as we sing 564, Jesus loves me, this I know.
Now, can we get all our children and our young people up to the front, please? Come on, young people. Come on. This is also for you today. Is everybody sitting comfortably? Y'all comfy? Yeah? Are you all ready to answer my questions this morning? Yeah? Good. I've got a really easy question to start off with. What is your favorite place in the world?
Home.
Home, okay. Right. Ted.
My kitchen.
Kitchen, okay. Yes.
It's got to be Vintage Strings in Dundee.
Vintage Strings in Dundee. We're all getting quite close. Any other thoughts? Yes.
My bedroom.
Your bedroom. So home's a really good place, right? Where has Ender been abroad recently? Yes, where have you been?
We went to France.
Nice. Anybody else been away? Anybody brave enough? No? Well, I'll tell you, my favourite place is Canada in Toronto, and it's quite far, isn't it? Which is good. Has anybody been to Wales recently? Or England? Or north of Scotland? Yeah? Lots of places. Any congregation people been away recently? Yes, Sheila, where have you been?
I was golfing in Lisbon.
Lisbon, nice. Okay. Portuguese, right? Portuguese. Yeah, anybody else been away recently? Just shout out. Yes. Orkney, yeah, cool. And anywhere else? You've been to Cameroon, so that's right, yeah. And what language do you speak in Cameroon? English and so many languages are the main ones. But there's lots of others too, isn't there? Wow, 208 languages, incredible. Across the world, there's lots and lots of languages. Now, our adults are going to be learning about how God is going to be bringing everybody together from all over the world and who speak all different languages in the new heaven to worship God in a perfect place where there's not going to be any tears. Who's maybe fell down this week and went, ow, I've hurt my knee or hurt something? Yeah? Who's maybe had some bad things said to them or said bad things? Yeah? A lot of us have. Who's maybe had some bad news this week? We've had some tears, yeah? There's lots of tears and lots of pain on this earth. There's going to be none of that in the new heaven, which I think is pretty cool, right? I think it's pretty cool, right? You're not going to have any more tears in heaven. I think that's pretty cool. And the other cool thing is we get to worship God with everybody around the world speaking the same language, singing and stuff like that. That's cool, isn't it? We can understand each other. Not speak the same language, but we can understand each other. But we have a call on this earth. And that's from Matthew 28, verse 19. Now, if somebody knows the Bibles, they might know what I'm going to say. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I've got some exciting news today. We're going to launch something for our young people. And this is exactly what we're going to be doing. So today, we are launching Alpha Youth. We're going to turn to our eyes to our screen and we're going to watch a wee trailer to kind of get a taste of what's it all about.
Why do we still look like this? Huh? Oh. Oh. Much better.
What is the meaning of life?
Is there a God or a spiritual dimension?
I've tried so many different identities. I wasn't really sure exactly who I should be.
What am I putting my hope in?
What can I do to change the world?
That little feeling of love, it changed my life forever.
Welcome to the conversation.
Hello, everyone.
Let's go.
See you, Isaac. We are the Sea of Galilee.
Guys, I had to try.
Alpha was created to be a space to listen, ask questions, and explore with the deeper questions of life and faith.
Alpha is a space where you can share what you think and how you feel.
Yo creía que podía hacer lo que me propusieron.
This is your space.
Everybody wants to be happy.
What makes you happy? Speak
so. I'm cats.
Your journey is just getting started.
I got a really cool experience a few weeks ago where I got a red carpet experience. Ooh, thanks, Ted. Thank you. Where I was invited to go down and see two episodes of Alpha Youth. And I can say with absolute certainty that this is the best series ever made for young people to speak with other young people. We have done Alpha Youth in the past and it was really, really good. This is 10 times better. And I've got some facts to tell you. We are going to be one of at least 3,000 groups across the UK and the world running Alpha Youth. It's going to be 10 episodes over an 8-week period. Now you're like, my maths not quite adding up here. One of the weeks we're going to be going away for a day to somewhere. We haven't planned it yet, but we're going to plan it. The last time we went to Edinburgh, where we'll watch a few episodes, play some games, and do a big event. Last time we did laser tag, we might be doing something different. And each night we'll have a meal together, and we're going to be launching on Sunday, the 26th of January, 6:30 to 8 p.m. for Primary 7 to S6 at Manor across the road. And we're going to be discussing big questions in life and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's quite cool, isn't it, right? It's amazing. And we're going to ask our young people to invite their friends along, and it's an opportunity for them to discuss about the big questions in life that affects them. And this series was made specifically for this generation, by this generation. And I've got a couple of things to ask our congregation. I need some help from you guys. First of all, I need some prayer support. I need you guys to be praying for us as we go out in this venture. Without prayer, we're nothing. Without having God at the center of things, we're nothing. So please be praying for us. There will be a newsletter each week detailing what we're going to be showing that week, for example. So please come speak to me at the end of service. We're also looking for some monetary donations. Our day away and our launch day is not going to be cheap. We'd love if some people could donate financially to us so we can give our young people a great experience during this event. And lastly, we're asking for people to provide some meals for the night. We're hoping on our launch day, if we have enough money, to bring pizza from Domino's and have a big kind of launch day event. And our day away, we're going to hopefully go away to places like Edinburgh or Glasgow or Stirling. We're going to have a bit of fun there. So if you feel that you can do any of those three things, prayer, donate some money, or actually, I'm going to provide a meal for you guys. Come speak to me after the service. Or we've got something else planned coming up in the new year. Robert, can you stand up for me? Robert came to me a few weeks ago. And what have you got planned in store?
So we're doing a Ceilidh on the 3rd of January. Yep. There will be live Ceilidh music, food and drinks and things. And yeah, I think it's going to be really
fun. That's good. So that'll be Friday the 3rd of January, and all proceeds are going to?
The church and youth group.
Tickets are £4 for an adult, or £12 for a family of four. And, best part, aren't you leading the band? There we go. So, Robert is going to be leading the band and calling out all the Ceilidh music, so it's going to be great fun. So, next week we'll have tickets on sale to come see either of us, or go to Manor. Manor's going to be available to sell tickets as well. So if you can't see us on a Sunday, go during the week, it'll be fine. So that's Friday the 3rd of January, 2025. And we've got to do one more thing, which I forgot about last week. Birthday blessings. Has anybody had a birthday in the last few weeks? Come on out. What's your name?
Jacob.
And when was your birthday?
5th of November.
And you had fireworks on your birthday? Yeah. Did you see some? Yeah. And how old are you?
9.
9 years old. Wow. And you're in primary?
5.
Primary 5. Okay. So what do you like to do at school?
I'm not exactly sure.
I can tell you something you're very good at school right now. You're very good at volleyball, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So you've been playing volleyball at school. And what do you like to do outside of school?
Football.
Just football?
I also like to do Lego.
Lego, okay, nice. Did you get any Lego for your birthday?
Yes.
What did you get?
Some Ninjago Lego.
Ninjago Lego? Nah, that's cool. Shall we pray for Jacob and then we're going to sing happy birthday for him, okay? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jacob. We thank you that his birthday went really well and he got fireworks on his birthday and everything. We thank you for all the good gifts he got. And for the fun things he likes to do, like football and Ninjago. And we thank you that he's got a wee skill in volleyball and he's doing well in school. And we pray you bless him and be with him. In Jesus' name, amen. So we sing Happy Birthday together. Thank you so much. Now we're going to sing hymn number 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father.
The reading is taken from the book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 7 to 17. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Saviour. My God will hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. Until he pleads my case and establishes my right, he will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame. She who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will see her downfall. Even now she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the streets. The day for building your walls will come, the day for extending your boundaries. In that day, people will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, even from Egypt to the Euphrates, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. The earth will become desolate because of its inhabitants, as a result of their deeds. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in days long ago. As in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of all their power. They will lay their hands on their mouths, and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God, and will be afraid of you. And the New Testament reading is taken from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, which is on page 1238. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings of his holy word. We continue our service with the hymn, "When We Walk with the Lord."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we preach and listen to your word today, open our hearts and minds. May the light of your truth illuminate our path, and may the vision of your kingdom inspire us to live as your people. Speak to us, O Lord, and may we not just hear, but also be transformed by your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning my theme for reflection is the great multitude, a vision for a fractured world. The great multitude, a vision for a fractured world. Beloved congregation, it is such a joy to be back with you after my whirlwind 10-day trip to Cameroon. Now, if I seem a little more energized than usual, it is probably because I am still running on the double espresso of Cameroonian hospitality and the spirit of homecoming. Honestly, though, I am not quite sure what I managed to do more while in Cameroon, preaching or eating. Between speaking at our synod, teaching at the seminary, and catching up with family and friends, I suspect I may have single-handedly kept the Cameroonian food industry thriving. Now let me tell you one thing. The phrase breaking bread together takes on a whole new meaning when you are pacing yourself through three banquets in a row, all before lunch. But don't worry, I have returned to Scotland and fully resolved to repent after Christmas. Speaking of food, one elder at the Synod or General Assembly in Cameroon offered me a good laugh when he remarked, "Pastor, you have been serving us plenty of spiritual food here, but we hear Scotland has been feeding you very well too." I assured him that the Scots certainly know their way around a good meal, especially if haggis is on the menu. With a twinkle in his eye, he replied, "Well then, Pastor, between the Cameroonian plantains and the Scottish haggis, we trust you are fully equipped to feed God's flock." And feed I must. For while my heart and stomach are full, my mind keeps circling back to a profound moment I experienced during my trip. Standing before a congregation as diverse as the people gathered here this morning, I was struck anew by the extraordinary way the gospel of Jesus Christ connects us across cultures, nations, and histories. It is this beautiful, borderless community of faith that Revelation 7 celebrates. Beloved congregation of Newport-on-Tay, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As your pastor, a son of Cameroon and now called to serve here in Scotland, I am daily reminded of how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects people across tribes, tongues, and nations. Our gathering, diverse in our own ways, is a small but powerful glimpse of the greater vision we encounter in Revelation 7, a vision of hope, inclusion, and transformation that speaks directly to our fractured and unpredictable world. The book of Revelation is a letter to struggling and marginalized believers in the first century. There were small, vulnerable communities trying to resist the overwhelming power of the Roman Empire, an empire that demanded allegiance, shaped culture, and defined identity through its own oppressive vision of the world. Revelation unmasked the lies of empire, exposing its violence, exploitation, and idolatry, and offered an alternative, a vision of a world ordered not by Caesar's might, but by the Lamb's sacrificial love. John the writer invites us to lift our eyes above the systems of division and oppression and to imagine a new community, a community rooted in God's justice, peace, and reconciliation. In Revelation 7, we find one of the most breathtaking images in all of Scripture. John writes, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." Picture this multitude, a sea of humanity as diverse as creation itself, yet united in worship of the Lamb. These people come from every corner of the earth, speaking countless languages, shaped by different cultures and histories, yet they are one. They are not united by empire or force, but by their shared devotion to the Lamb who was slain. As someone born in Cameroon and now serving in Scotland, I find this image deeply moving. It reminds me that the gospel transcends borders. It connects the hills of Fako Mountain in Cameroon with the banks of the River Tay. It brings together people who may have little in common on the surface, but who are made into one family through Christ. Dear Christian friends, the message of unity and love found in Revelation 7 is one our world desperately needs today. We live in an age marked by deep divisions, racial, political, cultural, and economic. Social media, which could serve as a bridge to connect diverse perspectives, often amplifies these divisions, creating echo chambers where we only hear voices like our own. Nowhere is this more evident than in the persistent reality of racism, a wound that continues to fracture societies across the globe, including here in Britain. A recent survey on ethnic inequality, hailed as one of the most comprehensive in over 25 years, paints a complicated picture of racism in the United Kingdom. Conducted by researchers from universities such as St. Andrews and King's College London, the survey revealed that more than a third of ethnic minority people in Britain have experienced some form of racist abuse. But here is the complexity. The groups most likely to report experiencing racism are not always those we might expect. Gypsy, traveler, and Roma communities, alongside Jewish people, were found to be the most frequent targets of racist abuse, with over 60% of Gypsy and traveler people and more than 55% of Jewish people reporting such experiences. Surprisingly, white Irish people reported facing prejudice at higher rates than Black African or Asian communities. This challenges the narrow assumption that racism is always a black and white issue, or that it only affects certain groups. Instead, it reveals a deeper, more insidious truth. Prejudice thrives wherever human societies divide themselves into us versus them. Even within the church, we can struggle with fractures. But the vision in Revelation calls us to something greater, to reject the us versus them mentality of empire and to embrace the radical inclusivity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pay attention to what makes this multitude in Revelation distinct. They are robed in white, a sign of purity and victory, not through their own strength, but through the blood of the Lamb. They hold palm branches, symbols of peace, yes, but also of triumph in the kingdom of God. This is a community that has come through suffering, the great ordeal, and emerged victorious, not by violence or conquest, but by faithful endurance and sacrificial love. This stands in stark contrast to the ways of empire, both ancient and modern. Empire thrives on division, on drawing lines between us and them, on exploiting fear, on sorting people into categories of worthiness and unworthiness. Rome did it with its cult of emperor worship and its brutal economics. Today we see it in the forces that segregate neighborhoods, fuel systemic injustices, and perpetuate cycles of poverty and violence. But the multitude in Revelation is not built on antagonism. It is not a community formed by conquering others, but by standing together in worship of the Lamb and centering the victims of empire. Their very existence is a subversion of the empire's way of building community. At the heart of this vision is the Lamb. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, stands as both victim and victor. He's the one who overcame the powers of sin and death through his own suffering and sacrificial love. He is also the shepherd who leads his people to springs of living water and wipes away every tear from their eyes. This is the kind of leadership we are called to center in our lives and our church. It is not a leadership of domination or self-interest, but one that prioritizes the vulnerable, listens to the marginalized, and lifts those crushed by the weight of the world's empire. Beloved friends, as we prepare to step into the week ahead, let us carry with us not only the vision of the great multitude in Revelation 7, but also the promise and confidence found in Micah 7, 7 to 17. Micah declares, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." What a powerful assurance. Even amid chaos, division, and uncertainty, we are reminded that God is at work, hearing, guiding, and restoring his people. Micah proclaims that though darkness may fall, it is never final, for God himself is our light. He's the one who will take the brokenness of our world and turn it into something new and beautiful. This promise fuels our hope and gives us the courage to confront the fractures around us. It invites us to actively participate in God's redemptive work, living as people who embody the vision of the great multitude here and now. So what does this mean for us now? It means we choose hope over despair. Like Micah, we say, "I will look to the Lord." No matter how heavy the burdens of life may feel, we know that God's faithfulness and his promises never fail. We are called to share this hope with those in our community who feel weighed down by helplessness or hopelessness, reminding them that God's love and justice are at work even in the darkest moments. It means we act as peacemakers. If Micah speaks of God trampling sin underfoot and casting all iniquities into the depths of the sea, we are reminded that the Lamb who leads us does so in the spirit of peace, not violence. This calls us to tear down the barriers that divide and to reject any form of us versus them. It means we live as a people of inclusion. The multitude of Revelation is diverse and unified, reflecting God's kingdom as it was always meant to be. Let us actively seek out ways to reflect that kingdom in Newport-on-Tay by listening to those whose voices are different from ours, by welcoming the stranger, and by celebrating the gifts and perspectives that each person brings into the life of our church and community. The Scottish philosopher David Hume once suggested that the minds of men are mirrors to one another, not only because they reflect each other's emotions, but also because those rays of light, those passions, sentiments, and opinions may be channeled and purified through conversation and community. This reflects the call to hope, peacemaking, and inclusion by emphasizing the transformative power of connection and community. Hume's insight underscores how our shared experiences and openness to one another help us cultivate understanding and unity, much like the kingdom described in Revelation. Friend, as we stand on this promise of hope and restoration, let us not forget Micah's vision of a God who leads with compassion. Micah says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love." This is the God who leads us as our shepherd, the Lamb who will wipe away every tear from our eyes, who will guide us to springs of living water, and who is making all things new. So as you go into your week, bring this hope to a fractured world. Be the light that shines through the darkness. Be the voice that lifts up the weary. Be the hands and feet of the Lamb who calls us to love sacrificially and live joyfully. And remember, as Micah assures us, our God will hear us. Our God will save us. And through him, all earth will come to know his steadfast love and glorious restoration. May the name of our Lord be praised now and forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the vision of the great multitude and the promise of your steadfast love. As we leave this place, may we carry your hope into every corner of our lives. Help us to be people who break down barriers, build bridges, and share your light with a world in need. May your Spirit guide us as we embody the unity, peace, and love of your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is "For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest."
Thank you.
Let us pray, let us dedicate the offering, and let us intercede. There is a response in the prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and loving God, we bring these gifts to you as an act of worship and thanksgiving. All that we have come from your hand, and we return a portion to you, asking that you bless and use it for the work of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we thank you for the vision of the great multitude, the people from every nation, tribe, and language, united in worship of the Lamb. Strengthen your church around the world to reflect this unity in diversity. Help us to reject division and embrace the radical inclusivity of your kingdom. May we stand as a beacon of hope and peace in a fractured world. Lord, in your mercy. God of justice, we lift before you those who face oppression, racism, and exclusion. Comfort the marginalized, heal the wounded, and bring justice to the oppressed. Give courage to your people to speak against prejudice and work for equality, so all may know the dignity that comes from being made in your image. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Shepherd, you promise that those before your throne will never hunger or thirst again. We pray for those in our world who lack the basic necessities of life. Provide for their needs and inspire us to share our abundance. Bless those looking for food, clean water, and shelter to communities in need. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, you see the pain of those who suffer through wars, disasters, and trials. Be their refuge and strength. Lead them to springs of living water and wipe away every tear from their eyes. Empower us to be agents of your peace and restoration in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. God of comfort, we remember those who are grieving and those weighed down by life's burdens. Surround them with your presence and give them hope through your promises. May they find strength in the assurance that you are their shepherd, leading them to peace and renewal. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, as we go into the world, fill us with the vision of the great multitude. Help us to live as peacemakers, bridge builders, and bearers of your light. Teach us to listen, to love, and to serve as Christ has called us. May we be a faithful witness to your kingdom in all we do. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. If you are able, please stand. Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. The final hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, 561.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.